Good morning, everyone. So here we are celebrating the Holy Family. What I'm going to suggest we do today is move a little bit away from what we might traditionally expect and to focus on the word family, to help maybe to bring it a little bit more to life and into the meaning of our daily lives as well. And so one of the things that I think is probably difficult for maybe a lot of people, and certainly for priests, you know, in preparing homilies at this particular time when we're talking about family, we recognize the reality that some of us are with family and there are some who are not. And so we do the best to try to incorporate an understanding of family from all points of view. So in that vein, I would ask you as best you can to kind of work towards making a link to connect and to unite the gift of the Holy Family together with the gift of our family here at St. Ignatius, to help us to maybe extend our thinking a little bit and broaden our horizons and concept and views of family. Certainly we have nuclear family, there's the church family, the family of God, and this family here at St. Ignatius Parish. So as we hear in the reading today, in the second reading, given that indeed we are all children of God, all having the same Father, God, guess what? We are all sisters and brothers. We are related. We are sisters and brothers, which means, hello, we are family. Maybe not in the same context as our nuclear family, but we are all family. God is our Father, Jesus is our brother, Mary is our spiritual mother, Joseph is foster father of Jesus, and he is the model of our faith. And the Holy Spirit is God's love present in each of our souls, uniting us together as God's children, as God's family. And so Sunday then really is Family Day. You know, usually we go and visit either grandparents or parents or, you know, whatever our family context is at this particular point. But we also come to church. We come to our father and mother's home here to share in a family meal. The Eucharist is that family meal that we share. And as we do so, we also remember other family members who couldn't be here today with us for various reasons. And so we remember them as well, and we pray for them too. Heaven, in fact, is our homeland. That's why, you know, sometimes our heart feels like a little bit empty. We're kind of wondering, feeling maybe a little bit lost. It's because we are just pilgrims here. We're just sojourners. We're just passing through. Eventually, we will return home to our homeland to be with our Father and family in heaven. And so it is our homeland where indeed some of our family have already gone to live with the Lord. We have family members who are visiting perhaps in purgatory, others living right here and right now in this particular time, and again, those living in the eternal life of heaven. And so our family is so extended and so complete that our family is connected with the church, which is suffering in purgatory, the church militant here on earth, and the church victorious in heaven. All of which reminds us that in every family there is suffering, anxiety, there's joy, there's love, there's wondering, and any other words that you could add to that according to your own experience. So again, we want to link and connect all of that. So today's Feast of the Holy Family reminds us that all these various feelings and emotions that we experience in life and in family situations are present within any family at any particular point in time. One or the other, but at some point we experience probably most or all of the variety of feelings and emotions that we can go through. And so Christ then has been born in our midst among the happy experiences as well as those that are some sad experiences. Mary and Joseph certainly experienced their share of struggles surrounding the birth of their child. Imagine their anxiety. Let's imagine that maybe if we put it in today's context, here they are, they've gone back to their home and traveled back to Toronto, let's say, which in itself is a day's journey. And all of a sudden they realize, hey, where's the kid? I don't know. I thought he was with you. And so they make the journey back again, and it's still 3 days after that before they find him. So you can imagine the anxiety, the stress, the worry, the wonder of what it is that's going on. Nevertheless, to us, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, they are the Holy Family. They are the Holy Family from whom we seek example. We draw inspiration. We draw strength from them and the example of their lives. We draw for perhaps maybe the aspect of patient listening and the thoughtful meditation that can be helpful to us in living our family lives as well. In Psalm 84, which we heard today, the psalm is usually acts as a bridge between the first and the second reading and setting the tone, helping us to carry over into the gospel. And so today's particular psalm is one of praise. The significance of that in the context of family and St. Ignatius is this. Psalm 84 speaks of the joy of worship in the temple. It speaks for the beauty of the Lord's dwelling place. Well, that's us here at St. Ignatius, the joy of celebrating here in the context of how we celebrate with one another as a worshiping family, as a joyful family, a loving family, dealing with one another, talking with one another, sharing with one another, and praying with one another through the good times and through the tough times as well. And so again, that brings us to the second reading, reminding us that we are all children of God. Indeed, we are, in fact, sisters and brothers. And just a quick brief word in terms of any of you who are faced with parenthood. Now, parenthood doesn't have to be just for those little kids, you know, crawling around on the floor. But, you know, if we're old enough, we still have children who are maybe in their 40s or 50s or maybe even 60s. Well, to us, they're still our little babies, are they not? They're still our children. But in the context of St. Ignatius and in the context of our smaller children, consider this. What do we learn from the readings today? In the first reading, we hear about family life. We have the family life of Abraham and Sarah and Hannah and Elkanah. In the gospel, we hear of Jesus and Mary. And for all of them, for these three families, these three sets of parents, we see their dedication, their love for their children, and they dedicating their children to God. To Yahweh. And so for us, they provide a model for Christian family life. These biblical parents, they do what they do out of a sense of responsibility and love for our children and also in responsibility toward God and offering and orienting our lives, our family, and how we raise our children toward God. Now, you know, sometimes when people talk about infant baptism, say, well, you know, the child is only a kid and if they can't make their own decisions and so on. That's true, obviously, at the moment, mostly if they're baptized when they're very small. But we are their parents, after all, and godparents. And so we stand for them. But it's not as if we are making the choice and the decision for them. Any of you who do have had the privilege and the blessing of seeing your family grow and grow through the teenage and early 20s and into adulthood, we see that at one point, children certainly will come to a point where they are going to make up their own minds about different things once they finally grow up. But if they are exposed to the life of the Christian community in their childhood, such as we have here at St. Ignatius and in other parishes and parts of the church world as well. But if they're growing up in that kind of an environment, then they will have a basis for them to be able to make their decision. The decision, hopefully, more in keeping with the Lord's design for our lives. And so, again, that's a very important aspect of our life as a family. And so the thing is, as we continue to move through the readings and through the celebration, we have everything that we need to be able to live our family life and to live it in faith. In the second reading from 1 John, we hear this, Beloved, so that's God speaking to us through John, saying to us today, Beloved, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And indeed, that is what and who we are. Continues later again and says, Beloved, we receive from Him whatever we ask. We receive whatever we ask because, he says, we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us to do. Whoever obeys His commandments abides in Him, and He abides in them. And how will we know that He abides in us? We will know in this way, by the Holy Spirit that He has given us. Because it's only in the Holy Spirit that we can begin to live and know and understand what all of that means. Okay, so again, moving more and more towards the idea of linking and connecting all of this to the reality of who we are in the broader context of family and what it means in the context of our faith, consider this. It is through keeping the commandments that we abide in God, as we have just heard, and we know that we abide in Him only through the Holy Spirit. It is only the Holy Spirit that helps us to recognize the value and the reality of what that means. In a book titled The Real Presence by St. Peter Julien Aymard, who is known as the Saint of the Eucharist, he teaches us this in part. He says, What does abiding in our Lord's life mean? To abide in His love is to make His Eucharistic love, to make it the center of our life, which is the only source of our consolation. It is to cast ourselves into the heart of Jesus in all things, to be centered in and live out of the reality of the Eucharist in all things. In our family life, in all of our relationships and responsibilities, and the choices and decisions that we make as we move through our life. Love and love of the Eucharist, love expands the heart. Family love enriches the heart. Eucharistic love enables the family to overcome all obstacles, no matter what they may be, to defeat the attacks of anger, impatience, unforgiveness, and it teaches us how to love one another as the Lord loves us and as the Lord has commanded us to love one another. In the collect, in the opening prayer today, we hear again some great words of courage and help in living out our lives in this way. We heard this, O God, who were pleased to give us the shining example of the Holy Family, graciously grant that we may imitate them in practicing the virtues of family life and in the bonds of charity. And so, in the joy of your house, delight one day in the eternal rewards. So, family, love, Eucharist. The Eucharist is our source. It is our life. It is the summit, the font, the source of our very being. The Eucharist is the sacrament of God's love. And so we have family, love, centered around the table. Eucharist. The Eucharist is the meal of the family of God. Here, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, angels, saints, gather with us and celebrate and enjoy this meal of love, this great supper of grace. And the meal that we celebrate the same as when we go to our family's homes and celebrate and have a meal. For us, that meal is the meal of the Eucharist. Here in the house of God, celebrating the Holy Family of Nazareth, we come together to celebrate the family of St. Ignatius, the family of the Church, the family, the global family. Again, Eucharist is the center of affection and expansion for us. Here our heart is fed, our deepest hunger and thirst is satisfied. Then, with hearts filled with love, grace, filled with the food of life, our love expands. It becomes greater in extent, greater in volume, size, shape. It increases in intensity. It radiates, spreads out, enlarges, bursts forth in an explosion of grace and an explosion of love poured out into the world through all of our relationships, poured out into the hearts of the whole human family, so that together, each and every one of us may indeed abide in God's love. Sisters and brothers, God bless you, and God bless our family.